ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमः। दि श्रीमद्भागवतम् 7th कैंटो चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। अग्नौ गुरावात्मनि च सर्वभूतेष्वधोक्षजम् भूतैस्वधामभिः पश्येत् अप्रविष्टं प्रविष्टवत् अग्नौ। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। वन शुड रियलाइज दैट इन द फायर इन द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इन वन सेल्फ एंड इन ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज इन ऑल सर्कमस्टेंसेज एंड कंडीशंस द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड विष्णु हैज साइमल्टेनियसली एंटर्ड एंड नॉट एंटर्ड। ही इज सिचुएटेड एक्सटर्नली एंड इंटरनली एज अ फुल कंट्रोलर ऑफ एवरीथिंग। Realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipresence is the perfect realization of the Absolute Truth to be attained through the study of Vedic literatures. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, the Lord is situated within the universe, within the heart of every living entity, and also within the atom. We should understand that whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, He is present with all His paraphernalia, including His name, form, associates and servants. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus one should understand that since the Supreme Lord has entered the atom, the living entities are also there. One must accept the inconceivable quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for no one can understand from the material point of view how the Lord is all-pervasive and yet is situated in His own abode, Goloka Vrindavan. This realization is possible if one strictly follows the regulative principles of ashram. Srila Madhvacharya says in this regard, Abravishta Saravagataha Pravishtastu Anurupavan Etam Dirupa Bhagavan Harir Eko Janardanaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form has not entered everything, but in His impersonal form He has entered Pravishta. Thus He has entered and not entered simultaneously. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham tesh avasthitah. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Lord can defy Himself, thus there is a variety in unity, ekatvam bahutvam. Om Hare Krishna. So these are the series of instructions which Narad Muni is giving on the perfect society's four social classes. So here in this verse we can see the setup of the Gurukul system, where the student, he goes to Gurukul and he learns various things. And here it is said, one should realize that in the fire, in the spiritual master, in oneself, in all living entities, in all circumstances and conditions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has simultaneously entered and not entered. So He is situated externally and internally as the full controller of everything. So in the Vedic times, every student had to go to Gurukul. And as the chapter began with this very important verse, Brahmachari Vasandanto Gurukule Guruhitam, that a brahmachari has to stay in the ashram of his guru and he has to live for the benefit of the guru, he has to serve the guru. And there are various other instructions which he has given. So I have just listed some of them. Giving this guru sincere respect and obeisances, acting as his menial servant, then engaging himself in spiritual activities and the study of Vedic literatures. Then he should dress with a belt, deer skin and matted hair, and should bear a danda and water pot and sacred thread. He should collect alms daily in the morning and should offer to the spiritual master. He should accept prasad only upon being ordered by the spiritual master. Eating what is absolutely necessary. Expert in executing responsibilities. He should be faithful. He should control his senses. And he should avoid the association of women as far as possible. And also he should avoid those who are too addicted to women. So these are the responsibilities of a student in the Gurukul system. So we can see that in the Vedic system of education, this was the primary goal of inculcating values into the children. Recently, I did a session for the teachers in Kolhapur, and it was a very interesting experience. I would just like to share. There was a college called Yashwant Rao Ayurvedic Mahavidyalaya. So there were about 40 teachers, and they had come to attend the program. And the session that I was supposed to speak on was the art of teaching. So I gave, just as many of the preachers do that, we gave an exercise to them that note down 3 favorite Nobel laureates and note down 3 favorite chief ministers of Maharashtra that you've liked, and note down 3 of your favorite teachers. So everyone was thinking, you know, immediately, of course, as you might be also experiencing that, it is so easy to recollect favorite teachers than Nobel laureates or chief minister. Who cares? You know, they don't impact our lives so much. You know, could be in an indirect way, but not so much directly. So everyone, I said, wasn't it easy to make a list of your favorite teachers? They said, yes, yes, yes. So I said, you all are teachers, isn't it? You all are going to impact your students in that way. So yeah, that's a fact. That's true. So we see that the Gurukul system or the profession of a teacher is so important because it impacts the lives of people to such a great extent that we can forget everything, but we'd never forget our teachers. Sometimes even after being grown-ups, sometimes even my family, my mother used to tell me that sometimes she sees dreams that she's sitting in exams and her teacher is sitting on her head, you know, saying that, why didn't you study it and things like that. That the impact of teachers we carry throughout our life, those impressions are so strong. So that's why we see that the profession of a teacher in Gurukul is so important. So important. So, you know, it is explained that, therefore, the profession of teaching, as we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, was given to the most pure people. The Brahmanas were given this job of teaching. That means they are the most pure people. Not by birth, but by qualification. Because unless a person is not pure, he may negatively impact the students. He may have a negative impact. Therefore, no one was allowed to teach except the very pure people of the society, because it was a very important profession, it was a very important responsibility, and therefore a very high qualification was required. Therefore, tatas was given only to the Brahmanas by qualification. Otherwise, it could create a havoc in the society, because the principle of education is so fundamental and so far-reaching effects it has, that if it is misused, it can have a negative impact on the society. And we can see that when the Britishers came to India to conquer India, they used this system to change the values of the Indians. Like there's a very famous governor, one of the members of the parliament who came to India as a Britisher. His name is Macaulay. You know, I have one quote of his Macaulay's address, one of the minutes of the meetings in which he addressed the members of the parliament at that time, the Britishers. He said, "It is impossible for us, with our limited means, to attempt to educate the body of the people. We must, at present, do our best to form a class who may be interpreters between us and the millions whom we govern, a class of persons, Indian in blood and color, but English in taste, in opinions, in morals, and in intellect. To that class we may leave it to refine the vernacular dialects of the country, to enrich those dialects with terms of science borrowed from the Western nomenclature, and to render them by degrees fit vehicles for conveying knowledge to the great mass of the population. So Macaulay's address, this address became very famous. That's why it is explained that sometimes even in India, during that time, British time, it is people, if they were showing symptoms of disloyalty to the country, they would call him Macaulay's children. You are Macaulay's children? Something like Gaddar, you know, you are Deshdrohi. If you would show some signs of disloyalty to the country, it was used in a derogatory sense, Macaulay's children. Those who are born in India, but who have a Western bent of mind, or who have values, or who think anything Western is good. So that was used at that time. So Macaulay's address was very famous. So we can see that how the British had used such an important sacred principle of education to transform the value systems of India completely. So that is the far-reaching effect of the education system being misused. So we can see that if education, this word comes from the word educare, which means that to bring out what is within. Education means to bring out what is within. What is within? So that's a good question. What is within? So actually, what is knowledge? Now, this is a question which even Arjuna had asked in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Shetram Shetragyamevacha Etad Veditam Ichhami Jnanam Nyam Chakeshava. What is Prakriti? What is Purusha? What is Shetram? What is Shetragya? What is Jnanam? What is Nyam? What is knowledge? And what is the object of knowledge? And then after explaining what is knowledge, Krishna explains, Jyotisham apitat jyotis tamasap paramuchyate jnanam nyeyam jnanagamyam ridhi sarvasya vishtita. That the Supreme Lord is a light of all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of this world. And jnanam nyeyam jnanagamyam, He is knowledge, He is the object of knowledge, He is the goal of knowledge. And ridhi sarvasya vishtitam, He is present in the heart of everyone. So on being asked what is knowledge, the Lord explains, Krishna explains the Gita, that is knowledge, to discover the Lord within our hearts. And here it is explained in this translation. One should realize that in the fire, in the spiritual master, in oneself and in all living beings, in all circumstances and conditions, the Supreme Personality of God, Vishnu, has simultaneously entered and not entered. So to realize that, the goal of education must be to realize the Lord within the heart and put permanently an end to the cycle of birth and death. So indirectly or directly, there should be a direct realization of this goal of putting an end to the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. That is education. How to become happy? That knowledge must be given. Therefore, in the Gita, he explains in that same chapter that Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnanartha darshanam etat jnanam iti proktam adjnanam yat athvanyata. That, you know, this is knowledge which I am explaining to you, the value systems, the jnana and vijnana. And apart from this, everything else is a big waste of time. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So any knowledge which does not has a reference to this fundamental principle of how one can become happy in life by escaping the cycle of birth and death is futile. And that's why we see today most of the people, after being so educated, they are the most miserable people. Highly educated people, most miserable. So therefore Prabhupada is to explain, what is knowledge? Knowledge means to understand what is matter, to understand what is spirit, and to understand the controller of both. So, in other point of view, we can see that how knowledge is given through three ways: knowledge, values, and skills. We have teachers today in our modern education system, as opposed to our Vedic system, who are giving knowledge, but they are not setting good examples personally in terms of how one should behave and how one should live one's life. So they are giving knowledge and skills, but they are not giving the values. So where will the students go to get values? First of all, they don't even know what is knowledge, because knowledge which they are giving is not actually knowledge. It's agyanam. It's ignorance. Just like Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was once Bharati Vidya Bhavan Institute, Bharati Vidya Peet. So he says, no, this should not be called Bharati Vidya Peet, this should be called as Bharati Avidya Peet. Because you are not giving the knowledge which Krishna has explained. What is Vidya? Vidya means it has to have knowledge about the soul. They should be realizing the soul. When Srila Prabhupada went to Massachusetts Institute of Technology and he asked this question, so you're such a big university, you have so many departments, where is the department to understand the soul? Everyone was looking, you don't have a department to understand the soul. So Prabhupada exposed the fallacy of modern education system, that they do not actually have the foundational principles of life. They do not know the difference between body and soul. Prabhupada, when he was in Russia, met the famous Professor Kotovsky, the head of the Indian religious studies in Russia. And he asked, so what happens after death? Swamiji, person dies, everything is finished. Prabhupada was aghast. What is this? I mean, the head of the Indian religious studies does not know the existence of the soul within the body. What kind of professor? He's the leader of the society. He does not know. Even the taxiwala in India knows that difference. So he exposed the fallacy of modern education system. People don't know. So, therefore, we can say that the knowledge that is being given today in schools and colleges is very superficial. Very superficial. It's just information, information, information. But no transformation. As someone was, one male came to me saying that we have learned by our modern education how to transplant a heart, but we have not yet learned how to transform the heart. So heart transformation is not there. And recently in one lecture, a devotee was saying that a small 8-year-old child was coming along with his 8-year-old child when he meets his class teacher. And she says, good morning, teacher, or something like that. And then the other student of that student was saying, is she a teacher? She's a supermodel. She was dressed up in such a way that it was difficult to say whether she was a teacher or... No, so no simplicity, no, actually, in terms of... So it's very difficult. In fact, when I was preaching in one of the institutes in Bombay, Premier Institute, one of the students was telling me that there is a professor in his college, he's a world famous professor, for what he teaches, expert, really expert in his subject. But when he teaches, he has a style. He sits on his chair, reclines back, and has a cigarette on his left hand, and then he's commanding the lecture. And all the students are looking at him and he says, yes, he's worshipable, he's like, he knows so much. But at the same time, they're seeing the cigarette in his hand, and what values are they going to take? Premier Institute in India. So unfortunately, this is what is going on, as opposed to the Vedic system, where the teachers would have to be top class. So this is the kind of education that is being given, unfortunately. And we can see that information that is being given out is not bringing any transformation in the hearts of people. That's why we find that even in the PhD level or in the management, postgraduate management studies, students are also there. There has to be an examiner sitting to see that they are not copying. Students are not copying. Please keep your books outside. Keep your textbooks outside. No copying. You will be barred. And all this information has to be given. Don't copy. So the basic value of honesty is not there in postgraduate students. In fact, it is explained that nowadays they are calling in board examinations. They are calling the police, security, in the centers because the students. They sometimes carrying guns to school. You know, so risky business. In fact, there's a devotee who was telling his experience when he passed out his MBBS from Karachi. MBBS final year exam, and one student didn't come to the exam. So the teacher was waiting for him. This boy has not come. And he came late, half an hour late. And when he came, he opened his bag and took out a Rampuri chakku. And the teacher is looking, my God. And he kept it on the table. Then he opened his bag and he removed a revolver. And the teacher is like, I was frightened, and he put it on the table. And then he removes his guidebook, puts it on the table, and he says, question paper, please. So what did the teacher do? Obviously, she gave, and that's how he opened and he wrote his exams. So we can imagine what to speak of values. I mean, even when they become material doctors, you can expect how wonderful, healthy patients will be in their with their medicines, because they don't have qualifications, unfortunately. No value systems. And we see that nice children, nice students having wonderful values and coming from good families, they go to school and they get spoilt. All the things that they would have never learned at home, they learn it in school. The world's choicest bad association, one gets into in school. All kinds of unwanted literatures, bad language, abuses, which movies has been released where. Everything one learns in school. I mean, I'm personally a product of the modern education system, so I can tell with realization. Speak with realization. So that, unfortunately, it was only that Srila Prabhupada has given us this movement by which we have been, you know, forthcoming generations are being saved from the adulteration. Because one wrong idea into the mind of a child can ruin his life. Throughout his life, he'll have to struggle and battle with that thought to take it out from his consciousness. But you see, tons and tons of all garbage is being put into the minds of the young children. All horrible. And when devotee had come from Italy, he was telling that now the situation has become so degraded that the students are having, illicit relationship with the teachers, and teachers are having with the students, and all kind of nasty things going on in school. So such a sacred institution meant for elevation, where a student is supposed to be trained up to give up sense gratification, that same institution is becoming a medium for advancing in sense gratification. How to become more and more absorbed in enjoyment. But they are not going to be happy, they are going to be miserable. That is the end result. Materialism only brings about misery. It is not that the Vedas were opposed to enjoyment, but they really showed us the true method of becoming happy. But they don't know that secret, and therefore they end up in problems. Today we see that so many highly educated people are being unemployed. They don't have jobs. The huge world economic meltdown has taken a toll of many of the engineers and many of the employment opportunities. People are unemployed. People are in so much anxiety. We can see the modern education is so wasteful, because even though they are highly educated, you know, they go through the very rigorous education curriculum, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, and then, you know, they have these class tests and this test and that test, surprise test, and all the formulas and all those things they have to cram up, and information, and they're getting good marks and everything, and then they become engineers, say in mechanical or something like that. And then they get a job. software professionals. Nothing got to do with what they did in college. They studied the whole life, 4 or 5 years, and then into mechanical engineering, something like that. And the company says, now you keep your degrees aside, now we'll teach you programming. Now you sit down to program. And there are so many students from premier institutes, the top premier institutes in India, who just, even material education is so wasteful that so much of energy goes into cramming that information, all those formulas, cos, sine, tan, and all that, trigonometry, calculus, integral, differential calculations, and all that, and then just keep it aside. Now you learn programming. And then you sit in front of the computer and just program. How wasteful, even materially speaking, that education system is a big waste. That energy could be used in cultivating spiritual culture. And not only that, not only do you have to throw out all that thing, now you have to put again more energy to learn a new technology, a software technology, something like that, because that is the highest paying job available in the society today. And not only that, only to be, for it to become redundant after 2 years. Working on a software, one goes, second one comes. And okay, now you throw, update your skills. And all the precious energy, the life force of the people is being zapped. And people have just become like zombies. And if you don't work for 10 hours, 12 hours in a day, you get a memo. So this is an unfortunate situation. People are not happy. This is what the modern education system has given the people. No satisfaction. And then finally, when they also take up to becoming entrepreneurs and businessmen like Satyam Infotech. You hear of the multi-million crore scam, 7,100 crore scam, where the Satyam, the headlines came, will the truth prevail? Will the truth prevail? Satyameva Jayate. That is supposed to be the logo, but the newspaper says, will the truth prevail? That is a big question. Big frauds, and they are the people who take up to, and even if they become some politicians, what are the values? No values. In my school days, in the first year of my engineering college, there was a huge fight in the hostel. Why? Because one student wanted to appear, wanted to stand for elections in the general secretary, something like that, or mess or something. He wanted to become in charge of that. So another student also was contesting. So they all went with a group of boys who said, you don't, I am standing for the elections. So he opposed, no, why I should? And then they all beat him up. For a small position like becoming the in charge of a mess, of a kitchen. Why? So that once you become the head of the mess, then you'll get the plate of food in your room. And you will get some money, you know, some kickoff from that. Whatever little extra money which they earn in the mess. Just see. So this is the kind of politicians and some kind of leaders that they will become in the future. So no values being taught. And then they become scientists and things like that. And ultimately to come up with inventions like nuclear weapons and things like that. Prabhupada was asked once that, Prabhupada, do you think that there will be a nuclear war in the future? Prabhupada said, yes. And all the disciples became very alarmed. Oh, Prabhupada has made a prophecy. He has made a forecast. Prabhupada said, it is not a matter of making a forecast or prophecy. It's a matter of common sense. They made a cycle, they used it. They made a motorcycle, they used it. They made a nuclear bomb and they'll use it. It's a matter of common sense. They used everything that they made. Why should they not use a nuclear bomb? So this was the situation that, and not only that, apart from that, there's so many bad things which are being taught in terms of theories, like the chemical evolution theory. Even those sincere students who have not been exposed to any exposure to sense gratification, and he's a very sincere student, just wants to study. What does he study? Darwin's theory, chemical evolution theory. This is what he studies in the textbooks. There's no God. So this is not education, this is indoctrination. Indoctrination. What do you understand by indoctrination? It's like forcing the student to accept some kind of doctrines, which does not have any scientific basis. Just do it. That's what we It's called perception management. You manage the perception of people, make them see what you want them to see. And the perceptions are being managed by the leaders of the society, making them consumers, for a consumeristic society. So when a student comes out, he becomes an atheist, he becomes a consumer. But actually, this is not the situation in our Vedic times. Very high demand was there from the teachers. Education, food, and you know, what a third one? And shelter. This was free, isn't it? Education, food, and medicines. Medicines were given actually free for the needy. Today, these three are become the greatest sources of income. Isn't it? It's becoming the biggest money-making business. Like, for example, if you have to go for a medical operation, a heart open-heart surgery, so you have to pay the doctor's bill, you have to pay the hospital bills, and then you have to pay under the table something for the doctor also. Some 1 lakh, 2 lakhs. Why? That's the way it is. So how can poor people afford good medical facilities? So difficult. And we see big institutes, big politicians are opening big institutes, and so many engineers and so many, you know, MBAs and so many, all these people are coming out. But what? For what? Only for the sake of making money. Because it's driven by greed. It's not driven by the attitude of helping the people. The teacher, the people, organizers of the educational institutes must be driven by the value of love and help. You should be compassionate. Giving knowledge is an act of charity. And that was the driving principle of the leaders of the institutes. Not greed for money. Because the leaders of such institutes are greedy, then the students will also be greedy. Doctors are also supposed to do this job with that same attitude, that we should help these people. He's in suffering, I should help him. Alleviate the suffering. But this is just... There's a Sanskrit shloka in this, you know, that Vaidyaraja namastubhyam yamaraja sahodara yama harati pranan vaidyo pranan dhananicha. And I offer my obeisances to the Vaidyaraj, who is the brother of Yamaraj. Yamaraj takes away the life, but the doctor takes away your life and your money also. That is the situation today. So expensive. Medicine has become so expensive, especially in the West, that sometimes people prefer to come to India for medical treatment. Isn't it? There are people coming for some treatments. Why? Because it's so expensive. And that is going to be the future of India also. Everything is going to become expensive. Medicines and this and that. And we can see that the whole industry is down. All the industry is down, but except the medicine industry. Pharmaceutical industry is on the top. No recession in that. Green, evergreen field. So, in the Vedic system, students would study the Vedas. The Chandas, the Shiksha, the Nirukti, the Vyakarana, the Kalpana, the Jyotishastras, the Upanishads, the Samhitas, the Brahmanas. These are the things which they would be studying. And this was what would actually be of help. This is called as Brahmana. Studies. Prabhupada used to say technology means Shudra. No matter how intelligent a person is in technology, but he's still a Shudra. But as far as he's studying, when he's studying the Vedas, he becomes a Brahmana. That is important. One has to study the Vedas. So, but ultimately for what? Because the Vedic literature brings us back to the connection of the Supreme Lord. We understand who the Lord is. Vedas will bring us to that understanding. That's why in the prayers of Shankaracharya, he's telling this shlokas, when he meets a grammar student, a student, he was studying grammar, and he says, you know, he chants this verse, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate. You know what is the next verse?
Samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukhrin karane bhaja govindam govindam bhaja mudhamate.
So he's looking at the Sanskrit scholar or a student or whoever studying Sanskrit. He's saying that bhaja govindam, you know, chant the names of Govinda, all these word jugglery and this grammar is not going to help you. Because at the time of death, what will be of use to you will be your knowledge of the Lord, how much devotion you have for the Lord. Your vibhakti, grammar, you study vibhakti, the rules of grammar. It's not vibhakti which will help you, it is bhakti which will help you. And it is the devotion which is actually going to. So Shankaracharya is explaining that that is what is important. So that is the goal of Vedic study. So many things have been spoken in this connection, is that how dakshina also must be given. Prabhupada speaks about it, that the teachers were not greedy. If the student had the capacity to pay, he would pay. Otherwise, that was not necessary. But whenever he becomes capable of paying, he would pay. So that was the character of the teachers. And again, an important point he says is that in the future verse, he says that a student can remain a brahmachari. It's not necessary for him to become a grihastha. Directly also, he can take sannyas and continue with his brahmachari ashram. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.